the goodness that's come to me. It's easier to let go of all my greed. Sometimes you gotta tell yourself that I'm not having it. Just take a good look in the mirror, say to yourself, I've come to fight to quit. So say I'm good, good enough to love myself.
So good,
good enough to have success. What you gain from all your stress is the freedom to know that you are blessed.
I'm good,
good enough to handle my bills.
So good,
good enough to raise my kids. I reply with every now and then, but life comes down to two things, and that's rejection and acceptance. So I reject that there's no peace, and I accept that I am free. And that's all I have to be, and that's all I ever need. Cause when I think of the goodness that's come to me, it's easier to let go of all my grief. Sometimes you gotta kill yourself that I'm not having it. Just take a good look in the mirror, say to yourself, I've come too far to quit. So say I'm good, good enough to love myself.
So good.
I reply with every now and then, but life comes down to two things, and that's rejection and acceptance. So I reject that there's no peace, and I accept that I am free. And that's all I have to be, and that's all I ever need. Cause when I think of the goodness that's come to me, it's easier to let go of all my grief. Sometimes you gotta kill yourself that I'm not having it. Just take a good look in the mirror, say to yourself, I've come too far to quit. So say I'm good, good enough to love myself.
So good,
good enough to have success. What you gain from all your stress is the freedom to know that God is blessed.
I'm good,
good enough to handle my bills.
So good,
good enough to raise my kids. Past is the past, and honestly, I'm happy for where I'm at because I'm
my people.
Let me tell you, and I'ma say it loud and clear, and you listen. So that's what you gain from all your stress is the freedom to know that God is blessed.
I'm good,
good enough to handle my bills.
So good,
good enough to raise my kids. Past is the past, and honestly, I'm happy for where I'm at because
I'm
my people. Let me tell you, and I'ma say it loud and clear, and you listen, so you hear me, so you never will forget. You're good enough to get that job, you're good enough to drive that car, and on top of all these things, you're good enough to have your dreams. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, yeah, 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 yeah.
People say, Tim, yo, you're my hero. How you do it? How you stay strong? Let them all know there's so much that I've been through. I have my days when it's true, y'all. I just can't smile. I just wanna cry. It ain't easy. Good morning, HisTab family. How are you this morning? Is anybody here this morning? Could we stand together and get ready to bless God? Hallelujah. God is great and He's greatly to be praised. I count it all joy to be able to be in the house of God and to worship with you this morning, that we can come together and we together can bless God for who He is, for who He was, who He's always going to be, because He is worthy of all that praise. He is worthy of all that glory, all the honor. Father, we just worship You this morning. We come into Your house this morning to bless You, Lord. You alone are worthy. Morning with a purpose to glorify You and to worship You. We pray, Father God, that our hearts would be tuned toward You, our eyes would be upon You, we would be fixed upon You, the author and the finisher of our faith. And God, we just bless You again this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. My God, You reign.
Surely alive, he's living on the inside.
Let hope arise and make the darkness hide. Faith is dead, I need a resurrection somehow. Now I'm lost. Yes, I am. The ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar, the fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival. Listen, let heaven roar. Do you need heaven roar to roar in your life this morning? Do you need the fire of God to fall? Do you need him to shake the ground that you walk on? Do you need a revival inside you this morning? I said you need heaven to roar. You need him to fall. You need him to shake the ground. Yeah.
in my devotion time this week, I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he tells them, we've been through a lot. We faced certain death. But God delivered us from all of that. And then he says to them, I am certain that he will do it again. And so I don't know about you, but I've been praying, I've been believing for some things. It may be a week, it may be a month, it may be years that you are asking God to move in this particular situation in your life. I am here to encourage you this morning that he has done it before and he will do it again. His promises said that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever think, ask, or imagine. That is the promise of God that we stand on. And I'm here to encourage you this morning to continue to trust, continue to believe, because his promises are yes and amen. He will do it again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet.
Hallelujah.
Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet.
Come on and make this your declaration this morning.
Your promise still stands. Your promise still stands. Great is
your faithfulness.
I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never. I know the night won't last. His word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Your promise. You never fail and you never will. Your
God, we thank you. We stand on your promises this morning. We say thank you for the things that have not yet come to pass. We thank you in advance. We are celebrating in advance because we know that victory is sure. Hallelujah. Yeah. Your promise is there. Hallelujah. Now sing this part with me. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. Oh.
Time.
Come on. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. I gotta hear you sing it, church. Let me hear you sing. And all the come on, come on, come on. Yeah. We'll shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Sing it again. Sing it again. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you. One more time. One more time. Sing it with everything that's inside you. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Oh. Yeah. Oh, the Spirit of God is here this morning. Listen, you give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Sing great. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
yeah.
Jesus, Jesus, we love you, Jesus, we love you, Jesus, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I'm my Lord. We love you, Jesus. We honor you this morning. You are awesome to us, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Do you love him this morning? You know, a lot of times we don't understand there are literally how blessed we are. There are churches all over the world, and many churches literally don't feel the presence of God in them. And I just want to say thank you for hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He's showing up because you're hungering after him. He's showing up because you want him. The favorite topic of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. You start singing about Jesus, and guess who shows up? The Holy Ghost. I love as he starts healing, touching, changing. There's a person here on your left leg, about a space of an inch above your kneecap in your femur. You've had a problem in that. I believe it was broken at one point in time, and it's a very bad break. God is healing you, taking all the pain away. And he's doing something with the marrow in there. I don't know what's going on, but something's going on in the marrow and that portion of your bone. So in Jesus' name, I command right now that bone to be made perfectly healthy. God, no more pain. New marrow in the name of Jesus. New marrow in the name of Jesus. And God, we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement shouted. I said everybody in agreement shouted. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell five or six folks, I love Jesus. Don't go sit down now. Don't go sit down. Go find five people you don't know and say, I love Jesus.
Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great. We'll shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. We pour out. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. Your breath. So we pour. It's your breath in our lungs.
Step one, rock solid faith happens every Tuesday night, every Wednesday morning, and every Thursday night. You want to make sure you sign up. You can go online, histabernacle.com. You can click on next steps, sign up, register, or you can just show up to class. Make sure you sign up today for next steps.
A vision for you. He and she is the mouthpiece of God.
One sent with definite authority, definite mission.
We got a morning crowd over here. How's everybody doing this morning? All right. We're good. Listen, we want to welcome all the guests of the house this morning. We're not going to embarrass you or call you up to the stage, so don't worry about that. But if you could raise your hand up, we have some folks that are going to be bringing you a gift. We got a bag for you, some things in there. We want to get to know you. So inside that bag, there's a connection card. We want you to fill that out, hand it to us. You can bring it either to our guest reception after the service or bring it out front to our guest center. But we have a gift for you. Can we give our guests a round of applause this morning? Did we get all of our guests this morning? Is there anybody else that didn't get a guest packet? Awesome. Listen, HD people, we got to start bringing some guests. There's a couple people that said that's good. All right, we got some hands raised up over here. If you brought a guest and they're not raising their hand, raise it for them. Amen. Awesome. We want to thank you for joining us. And right after the service, we have a guest reception right on the other side of the wall to the right of you. And we'd like to get a chance to talk with you and meet you. And also, you have an opportunity to meet the pastors. We want to also welcome the live stream online. Thank you so much for joining us. Can we give our live streamers a round of applause? Listen, just like we're here in-house, we know that you are there live stream. So we want to thank you for joining us. You're going to be blessed by today's service. Pastor Spencer is preaching it down. Amen? The first service, they say amen. Y'all don't know what you're in for, second service. All right, a couple things. We saw Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit, right? We got that going on in a couple weeks. That's only 2 weeks away. We got a lot going on. So the 20th through the 22nd, we have the Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit. Now, I know that we're hearing the Empowering Pastors. This is for everyone. All right, turn to the person to the next to you and say, this is for you. I like that. That was pretty good. I like that. That was good. Way to follow my lead. Well, listen, anyway, we are bringing an awareness for this conference because, again, this is for pastors within the region. Anybody that wants to be blessed, a pastor was talking first service. We have folks coming from Kentucky. So this is something to bless pastors. But more than that, it can bless you. If you're a leader, if you're a volunteer or a worker, this is for you. Say, this is for me. It is for you. So we want to make sure that you sign up for that. We have a sign-up table out in the foyer that you can go and sign up, or you can see Pastor Obi. Pastor Obi, could you please stand up? Pastor Obi, you can see him after the service if you'd like to sign up to attend that. And, of course, we're also raising awareness because we want to be a blessing to these pastors. Also, if you want to be a blessing to our teenagers in our community, we're raising monthly partnership. We got an uproar over there. Got some craziness happening. So Uproar conference that is happening in July, we want you to partner with us. We are doing monthly partnerships. Seriously, $20 a month, that is nothing. You guys can like skip out on some coffee maybe once or twice a week. You know that she runs the Uproar conference. She's clapping over there. All right, but listen, my wife, I'm trying to get her away from Starbucks, but listen, $20 a month, how hard is that? All right? How many of you in here can do that? Okay, all of you, thank you. $20 a month, we want monthly partnerships out front. We also have a table for you to sign up to help and to partner with us. We want you to be blessed. Again, this is sowing into the next generation. You guys know what next week is? You clearly don't know what next week is because you didn't respond. Guess what? next Sunday, guess what we're doing? We're springing ahead. Amen. That means more daylight. That means that you can't show up at 10 o'clock. Right? Okay? So be aware, okay, we're springing ahead. All right? Cool? So if you show up at 10, you know, we have 11 o'clock service still. All right? I'm trying to keep this right in my mind because falling back, springing ahead, just it gets chaotic. Anyway, reminder, next week, we're springing ahead. Be aware so you're here to service on time. Thank you. Here's Pastor Rhonda.
Kate Jewell, to the office. There is nothing that preaches better than testimonies. And this morning, our testimonies just rocked first service. So Kate has a powerful testimony to share with you.
But I do want to say that tithing has to be done in order for this kind of blessing to happen. Pastor's been preaching on what kind of God do you serve. Do you serve the God who sustains you? He will bless you, but I didn't mention this first service, but I just want you to know he's giving you a taste of what you could have if you're not a tither and you're getting blessed.
Amen.
So I had my house on the market. We already moved, and so I had two houses to uphold. So I was praying, let's have this house sell as soon as possible. That was my prayer. Get me what I need and get it off my hands, so to speak. And then I started really paying attention to what Pastor was preaching, the truth about what God wants to do in your life. Serve the God that blesses you abundantly. So I changed my prayer to, God, how do you want this house to be handled? How do you want to bless me with the sale of this house? Just really pressed in, and we had an offer, a little more detail than I gave first service. We did have an offer. It was about $9,000 less than our asking price, and that, for the price of our house, is a pretty significant chunk. We don't live in royalty.
Not yet.
That's right. And I said, God, this isn't our portion. This is not what I've been taught. I'm choosing to serve the God of abundance. So I kept pressing in and saying, declaring that something better was going to come. And in that same very weekend that we got that offer, another offer came in. And we ended up in a bidding war. I didn't have to negotiate, and I got more than I was expecting. So just to encourage you, get on the tithing boat and then listen to him because he preaches the truth. And make sure you're not serving the God that takes care of you. Make sure you're serving the God that rains down heaven in your life. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. No one can argue with her testimony. She's seen firsthand the generous blessing of our abundant God. How many of you want to stand and participate with those kingdom finances? Stand up. We're going to declare Deuteronomy 28 over our lives, and I want you to preach it like you mean it. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button, give right along with us, or you can even text to give.
Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your
Jesus, we make your praise glorious. You are glorious.
I said, isn't he glorious? He's a good God, man. We sure do love Jesus. We're excited that you're in the house of the Lord today. We got a great message for you from God that will build your spirit, challenge your heart, excel you in your relationship with the Lord. Today, we are excited to remind you about the Empowering Pastors Conference. And if you are not signed up, please sign up. I know it will challenge your life. And we also wanted to make available, if you'd like to sow into that, I have heard that people are saying and have mentioned that we talk about money a lot. I just know that you haven't been to many churches. We talk about money very little in this house, and we just want to challenge you. The reason that we do give you these opportunities, for those who are sowers, they know what that means. That means that God will accelerate you. Amen? Whatever you sow, you shall reap. So if you're offended that we're asking for finances, we just want to, I was going to say apologies, but that's not true. I don't apologize. Our goal is not to get money out of your pocket, but get money in your pocket. And the way to do that is to be a tither, sower, and reaper. Can I hear an amen? That is how the kingdom works. And I love the fact that we serve a living God who has principles of heaven. This is the year of... Boy, that was so sad. I said, this is the year of generosity. We are the generous church. Turn to someone next to you and say, you are the generous church. And that is a fact. You are a generous church. Remember, the church is not the building. You're the church. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is a building. This could burn tomorrow. It'd be sad. But if this burned tomorrow, the church isn't gone. The church is still alive because you're the church. And that's the exciting part. We could meet in the greatest revival in America. I don't know if you know where it started, but it was in the Azusa Street in Azusa, California. And it was literally in a horse barn. The preacher used to preach, William Seymour. He used to preach with his head in a crate. He would get down and came out to the service. He would get on his knees, put his head in a crate, and he would just sit there and pray. And miracles started happening all over the sanctuary. In fact, they had to call the fire department twice because the building was on fire. And when they got there, there was no physical fire. It was the Holy Ghost fire. Amen? People would literally start falling out 2 and 3 blocks away from the horse barn. They'd be walking by, and the Holy Ghost would have them. They'd be right out on the street. See, God is powerful. One of the most powerful messages, one of the most powerful services I've ever been to was down at the Carpenter's Church. Has anybody ever been to the Carpenter's Church? The Carpenter's Church in Lakeland, Florida. And let me tell you, back in those days, Rodney Howard Brown, this was back in the early 90s, had pretty much, I had just heard of the guy. I went down, there were 11,000 people in that service. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit, and a hush came across the congregation. 11,000 people. And you could literally hear a pin drop in that room. After that, he started laying hands on people. Around the sanctuary was a mile. It's 1 mile of hallways around the sanctuary. They went around twice. And then there was so much room, no more room, they had to put people outside during the daytime. He went around, laid hands on every single one of the 11,000. And so many people went out in the Spirit outside that an ambulance driver was going by, saw all the bodies laying out, and called all the fire departments, all the ambulances, and everybody showed up to help this mass murder at this church. Hilarious. And it's so powerful to realize that what you have seen before, God, you and I haven't even seen what he's willing to do. He said he wants to pour himself out on you. Can I hear an amen? Your God is a generous God and wants to be generous to you supernaturally in your life. And we're believing, God, that he's going to move so powerfully in these services and in this congregation that somebody walking in with a disease, the disease will fall off as they're coming down the driveway in Jesus' name. That the lost will cry out. It'll be just like Jonathan Edwards. He doesn't even get done his sermon and someone's running up to be saved already. Amen? I'm believing God that he'll do that. Why? Because our God is supernatural and he is a generous God and wants to be generous in our lives. Last week we preached on the generosity of his blood. How many of you are excited that God is generous with his blood? How many of you are excited that your sins are washed away? How many of you are excited that Jesus Christ made you a new person? Boy, you're awful sad. I said, how many of you are glad that Jesus made you a new person? That's better. That almost roused the devil. I said, how many of you are excited that Jesus washed your sins away? Man, this is not about religion. This is about a relationship. And the blood of Christ gave us the opportunity to go into the throne room of God boldly. Today, I want to talk to you about the generous mercy and the generous grace of our God. Now, many people are living more in mercy than in grace. And many people don't even know what mercy and grace are. So today I want to open up the Word of God, and I want to show you how generous our God is with mercy, how generous our God is with grace, and how you and I can live a successful Christian lifestyle. We don't have to be one of these Christianettes that runs around and so everybody's wondering whether you do serve God or why you go to the church because of the lifestyle you live. He wants to move in your life in such a dimension that mercy is less needed because you're living in more grace. Mercy is simply this, not getting what you deserve. How many of you glad you don't get what you deserve? Not many of you. I said, how many of you glad you don't get what you deserve? The wages of sin is. So every one of us in this room deserve death. But you see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through Jesus Christ is what? Eternal life. Today, we don't have to die in our sin because of the generous blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he showed mercy to us, because he drew us, because he loves us, for God so loved the world. It's time to recognize that God's grace and God's mercy, that mercy simply means you don't get what you deserve. Grace means it's the power to live right. It's the favor of God, the power of God, the energy of heaven that will be released in your life to live righteous. Now, amazingly, we live in a Christian culture where Christians literally parallel the world. It's very hard these days to tell when somebody is of the world or not of the world. But the Bible makes the declaration, come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God is calling his church back to a holiness. He's calling us back to live right before him. He's calling us to be a testimony that when someone sees our lives, they will see Christ and not see a religion or a church or a cop-out. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Our verse for the year is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And it says this, the generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The Bible is very clear. If you are generous, you will prosper. God is generous, and he has prospered. He was generous with his son, and today we are sitting and seeing the millions and millions of people all across this world, over a billion people that have walked and are walking in relationship with Jesus, all because of one seed. Today, our God is generous. I'd like you to open your Bible with me this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Okay, if you don't have a Bible, then make it sound like you do. You know, I actually wanted to create an app. My wife and I talked about creating an app where it sounds like Bible pages are moving. There you go. Just wrinkle paper. It makes it sound good. How many of you do not have a Bible? If you do not own a Bible, we will give you a Bible. Okay? I remember it was, I think, 3 years ago. Minister Redner, help me now with this. I think it was 3 years ago. They gave away, we gave away over $30,000 worth of Bibles. We want you to own a Bible. Amen? You need to read a Bible. Now, many of you might have your Bible from a childhood, and that's usually a King James Version with these, thous, and thuses. We would like to put a different version in your Bible. It's the same words, same principles, just in our vernacular. So if you will please, if you don't have a Bible, see Pastor Dan. Where's Pastor Daniel Dykes? Where is he? He's in the bathroom. He's always in the bathroom. We love him. It's time for a meeting, you know. We have a meeting. Where's Pastor Daniel? He's in the bathroom. So today I want to show us this verse. It's a powerful verse, Ephesians chapter 2, and it says this. You and you he made alive. Turn to someone and say, you're alive. Amen. And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit or the demonic who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature, everybody shout nature. By nature, children of wrath, just as the others. You see, when you were not born again, the Bible says that you have the nature of your father, the devil. Now, I'm not saying you ran around, you know, a pentagram naked and slaughtered children in the middle. I'm not saying that you are a Satanist in that dimension. But literally, if you did not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're sitting here today, the Bible says you have the nature of the sons of disobedience. You have the nature of the diabolical. You have the nature of the fallen Adam. And you see, that is a problem because without Christ in your life, you cannot change natures. You see, here the Bible's talking about those who live this lifestyle, those who do not know Christ, have the nature of the diabolical. But God has a plan. Shout, God has a plan. God has a plan to change you. And it says this, but God, oh, I love that verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there is a difference between grace and mercy. Grace is the power to live the life, and mercy is when you're not. How many of you have ever sinned before? How many of you have sinned twice? How many of you are sinning now because you're not raising your hands? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says if you have not sinned, then you're calling God a liar. Every man has sinned. We're in the position that when we did not know Christ, our lives were consumed by nature away from the Lord. You see, that is when God started working in your life. Some of you are in the room today and you don't even realize that God, by his prevenient love, his prevenient grace, and his mercy, have been drawing you for years. He's been placing people in your life. He's been putting people around you. He's been setting you up. Turn to someone and say, I've been set up. He's been setting you up to draw you in for salvation, even today, to hear this message that will fill your life with power, that will fill your life with forgiveness, that will put grace active in your life. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about this generous mercy. God is generous in his mercy, yet many people take advantage of that generosity. There are many believers who are living a lifestyle. They've come up, they've confessed Christ as their Savior. They've been born again, washed by the blood of the Lamb, the generous blood of Christ. Yet when it's time to start living it, they're not living the lifestyle of God. They rely more upon the mercy than on the grace. They live in the drunken stupor of always having the dependency that I better have grace because I'm not living the life. And God wants to make a shift in your life. Thank God for the mercy. Can I hear an amen? How many of you are glad you got mercy? How many of you needed mercy? Amen. But it's not, God has not called you to live in the mercy on a continual basis. He's called you to live in the grace, the power, and the favor of heaven that will give you the supernatural unction to live a life to where you are separate from the world. Turn to someone and say, you look peculiar. Come on, tell somebody else, you look peculiar. Now listen, if your wife hits you, it's all right. Now, you know that was wrong, right? You shouldn't say that to people. That's mean. So now turn and say, I'm sorry. Right. Now tell them they act peculiar. You see, you and I are supposed to be peculiar. We are peculiar people. We are different people. We are not of this world. This is not our home. Can I hear an amen? We are but sojourners here. This is not the lifestyle that we should be living. We are called to live the life of God. We are called to have the faith of God. We are called to walk in the Spirit of God. Therefore, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what happens is this, is there are many believers that don't understand grace. They don't understand the power that's available for them. They don't understand how to walk in the Spirit, so they live continually in the mercy because they're living a lifestyle that is opposite from what Christ has called us to live. We've got to grab a hold of ourselves because Christ has not called us to live in that mercy vein. He's called us to live in the grace vein. The very purpose for mercy is to restore you to grace. So when you only live in mercy and you're not restored to grace, you're in a dangerous posture. And this is where many believers are. You know, they genuinely love God, but their lifestyle hasn't changed. They still cuss the same way. They still think the same way. They still act the same way. They still drink the same way. They still talk the same way. They still, what other things can we do? We still act exactly like the world acts, and we can't understand why our friends don't want Christ. Our friends don't want Christ because they don't want the religion. They don't want what we have because simply we're no different from them. In fact, many of them are in better shape than you. And it's mainly because we live in this mercy zone. Thank God for the mercy. I'm not condemning mercy. I thank God that if you need mercy, you got mercy. Can I hear an amen? I thank God that if you sin and you confess your sins, the mercy of God is released and the blood washes away your sin. Glory to God for mercy. Amen. But the truth is you have not been called to live in sin because your sinful nature has been changed. Remember when you were, and we just read the verse here in Ephesians, that you had the nature of your father, the devil. That means it was normal to sin. It's so cute. People come up to me and say, you wouldn't believe what people have said to me. I mean, they were mean to me. They were nasty to me. They lied to me. They cheated me. Well, of course they did. They're serving the father, the devil. That's their nature. Sinners sin because sinners sin. It's their nature. But the moment you became born again, the moment the generous blood was spread in your life, the moment the generous Savior gave you his generous blood that gave you and released the generous mercy and the generous grace, that immediately you became born again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're not the same man. You're not the same woman. Your nature has changed, according to Peter. You now have the divine nature. You have the God nature because now you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. Ah! Now, really, what's kind of funny is that when you say possessed, the very first thought people have is demonic possession. You know, they've seen the movies where the heads turn around and people spit and eyeballs roll back in their head. And but remember, possession, the devil has never thought up anything new himself. He always tried to counterfeit. He counterfeits what God does. It was God's plan to come and live inside of you. It was God's plan that you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. It was God's plan that he enter into your spirit and make you a brand new and a brand new man and a brand new woman. It's God's plan that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live according to the faith of the Son of God. It's Christ's plan. The devil stole it. So when you're born again, literally, your nature changes. You now have the fruit or personality of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The very nature, the very personality, the very character of the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. So you see, you and I don't have to sin every day.
Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
That's bogus. That's good religion, but that's bad Bible. You're not a sinner. The moment you got saved, your sinful nature ceased. You are a Christian who sins, but you are not a sinner. You see, when you're a sinner, your nature hasn't changed. Ooh, come on now. When you live in sin, when you live a lifestyle of sin, you're declaring my nature is the old man. And God is, thank God for his generous mercy. Can I hear an amen? But many of us live in that nature to where we pacify and placate the fact that our lifestyle is not right before God. We get drunken with the lie that everything is okay because I don't see any justice happening. Justice is a big part of God. God is just. Just like God is merciful, God is also just. What is justice? Well, if you are a lawbreaker, the fact is that if you do a felony or a misdemeanor, the police who represent the law have the right to come and arrest you, put you in handcuffs, book you in the back of their car, book you, Dano, and put you and slam you behind the cage. And then you stand before the judge, and then you go to court. And then the judge releases some element of judgment in your life. That is the right of justice. But what happens in many of our lives is because we dismiss justice because we don't see immediate justification in the aspect of payment of price. We drink so much mercy that we lie to ourselves and deceive ourselves that God's justice will never happen in our life. Mercy does not dismiss the trespass. Mercy cheers you on to repentance. Mercy says, hey, listen, God is being gracious to you, for the wages of sin is. God is being gracious to you that, listen, if you don't like the consequence of sin, then don't sin. He's gracious enough in our life that he looks at our heart. Now, you see, this is something you see all the way through the scripture and through the word, is that God, by nature, he looks at the heart. God is always looking at your heart. Somebody can look on the outside and see whatever they want to see, but the heart is always revealed before God. God will always be merciful to one's heart that is supple enough that he sees that they're going to repent from their sin. But you see, that is God's mercy staying justice. It's not that justice shouldn't have been served, but God, by his generous mercy, stays justice so that mercy can be received and repentance will be revealed. When a person, their justice is stayed and mercy is released, yet there is no repentance, then God, by his mercy, will release justice to capture them from themselves. You might need to think about that one. Some of us play so much with sin, we drink so much mercy because we do not see the recompense. We do not see that there is a price that will be paid, that the Bible is true. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. You see, this is the reality of the life we live in. In Christianity today, we have been drunken by these lies that God will not bring judgment to our life. The justice of God is nothing more than salvation. Now, my son, Chad, I shared the story in the first service. I spanked him at 17 years old. Now, I teach my kids this. There is never going to be disrespect in my house. Why is that? If you can't respect the father you can see, how will you respect the father you can't? If you're going to rebel against the father who you do see, how you will always rebel against the father you can't. And so at 17 years old, I said, get over here. Now watch. Now, this was great faith. Because at that point in time, he was bigger than me. He was taller than me. And I know he could beat me up. And I said to him, Chad, get over here, drop your drawers, bend over, and touch my ankles. And I took my belt and I whooped on his hiney. Now, he chuckled when he left. I gave it my best shot. But the fact was, is that he was drunken with the thought that I'm 17 years old and my father can't discipline me. You see, many of us are drunken with the thought because we live a lifestyle of sin and do not see immediate retribution. We do not see justice come in our lives, that we can still live any way we want. But one day, God, by his greatness, one day, God, by his mercy, even will bring justice to your life to save you from yourself. Can I hear an amen or am I? You see, mercy works for justice. Mercy has no right over justice. But mercy pleads the case before justice is released. Have mercy. Their heart is good. They really do want you, God. They really do want to serve you, God. They're struggling, God. And God will release mercy because he's generous. He believes in you. You see, God does not look at your FGHIJKLMNOPQRS. Whew. Almost lost the alphabet. God doesn't look at your middle. God looks at your end. God doesn't look at where you are. He looks at where he wants you to be. There's no greater cheerleader than heaven. Can I hear an amen? There's nobody who loves you more than your God. He is cheering you on. He is shouting you on. He's declaring your goodness. And God will dispense that mercy. You see, he really does care. Justice is a friend to the innocent. But mercy is the cry of the guilty. And some of us, listen now. We've lived in sin so long, we don't even know enough to cry out for mercy. We just assume that God has passed us over, forgotten about it, and it's no big deal. But the fact is that when we sin, there is always a consequence. And if nothing else, it breaches your relationship with Jesus, which should be the greatest thing in your life. It should be your number one passion. Seek ye first, not second, third, or fourth. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is where we as believers, everything must shift in our lives because so many of us have been living off the gobble of mercy and not living out of the power of grace. You see, this is where it becomes challenging as even a pastor because so many people just live it. They just do whatever they want. You know, we forget that the book of Acts, how many of you know that the book of Acts has no ending to it? I'm almost done. How many believe the book of Acts, how many of you know the book of Acts has no ending? There's no formal ending to the book of Acts. In fact, we're still living it today. It's called the church age. When Christ sent to the disciples, go tarry in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father. In Acts chapter 2, they were tarrying there 120 for 10 days. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God was poured out. They were all baptized, and the Holy Ghost began to speak with other tongues. Peter stood out in Jerusalem. There's about 2 million people because of a festival. He started preaching the gospel. Man, no megaphone, no microphone. But under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he started preaching the gospel of Jesus. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that day, 3,000 men gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. That day, the church had begun. It was launched on that day. It was an awesome day. But you see, many of us just look at that as, that's the old days, and it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with us. And you know what's peculiar about the scripture is that God placed a portion in the Bible to make sure that we understand that mercy is generous, but justice is real. In Acts chapter 5, we see the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It's in those days, what they did is, as believers, what they did was they would sell their extra stuff, bring the money, and give it to the disciples. And the disciples would pass it out and make sure that there was no lack. You see, we talked about lack. Lack is never of God. And the church should never live in lack. Can I hear an amen? And God does not want you to live in lack. He wants you to always have more than enough to bless somebody else. True poverty is lack. And so here they were struggling. And so what ended up happening was this, is people would sell. And a man came up to Peter and said, hey, listen, man, I just want you to know we sold a piece of property and here's the money. And he gave Peter the money. And Peter looked at him, and the Spirit of God said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? This isn't what you sold the land for. It was your land. You could have sold it and given however much you wanted, but you didn't give how much you wanted. You actually lied about it, and because you lied about it, now you listen, this is powerful, because God looks at the heart. On the outside, it just looked like this guy did one thing. But God looked on the heart and saw how black his heart was. He saw how dark his heart was. He saw that repentance was not part of his life. And because of one thing that we see in the scripture, Peter looked at him and said, because you've lied to the Holy Ghost, it will cost you your life today. And he dropped dead right there in the church. A few hours later, his bride came. She didn't know her husband's dead. A bunch of men grabbed the man and took him out and buried him. So here she shows up, and Peter looks at her and said, hey, you know, was that the amount that you guys sold the piece of property for? And she must have rehearsed with her husband what to say, because she said, yeah, that's the whole price. And Peter looked and said, listen, the same men that carried your husband out are behind you, and they're going to carry you out too. Shoom, she dropped dead. God will not always strive with man. And when we drink so much mercy and we are never willing to repent, justice will end up coming. We just don't know to what level. I've always been smart. I won't say that. I try to be smart. But I got a lot of spankings growing up. Karina is my witness, my cousin. I was spanked a lot. Because I really wasn't that intelligent. I chose just to live any way I want and take whatever kind of justice was going to come. And my father was really good at the belt. And man, I still have calluses. But we forget that justice is part of the nature of our God. Jesus came with mercy, not so that we could keep living the same way. He came with mercy to release the power so that you can live differently. So what is grace? We know what mercy is, not getting what we deserve. But what is grace? Grace is the power and the favor of the supernatural portion of heaven released in your life so that you can live the life of God. You see, Christ has never called you to live this Christian life, this believer's life, this sonship life. He's never called you to live that out of your own strength. For it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. It's God calling us into salvation so that he can live through you and bring power in your life to live a different life. But so many are living in the mercy that we never touch grace, and now we live a normal lifestyle of life's temptations. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 says this: I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Which is saying this: this is not about you. This is about God's grace living through you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful. Shout, God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, you'll be made a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, grace will give you that power that when temptation comes your way, remember, temptation never comes from God. God can tempt no man with evil. James chapter 1. And when temptation comes, you and I don't have to get the goblet of mercy all over again because we chose it, but we can look at that sin and say, in the name of Jesus, he has given me power over you. You see, the Bible makes the declaration, you are no longer a slave to sin. Romans chapter 6, God's word declares that sin has been broken in your life. You don't have to sin. We choose to sin. That's pretty powerful when you think about it. You don't have to sin. Now that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, that when you're about ready to sin, the Spirit of God brings conviction. It is not your nature to sin. It is your nature not to sin. It is not your nature to need mercy. It's your nature to live in grace. You are changed. But as believers, what's happened is we are so used to this mercy thing that we literally forget that we don't have to sin. We don't have to live that old lifestyle. We don't have to live in that old nature. We don't have to live. He's given us the power, the supernatural dunamis, the supernatural dynamo, that supernatural unction from heaven dwells not in heaven, but dwells in you. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, that the Spirit of God, the unction, dwells inside of you, the Spirit of God, that all that you need to be successful and victorious over every sin is right there already. You see, as believers, this is so powerful for us because so many of us live this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says this: each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. See, what grace does is it gives you the power to overcome even when you can't do it yourself. Instead of caving to the sin, stand up and speak to it in the name of Jesus and say, you have no power in my life. They have no authority in my life. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be broken. I command you to back off. You see, that's the authority that you have. Many of us think because Paul said this, my grace is sufficient for thee, that, you know, he struggled with sickness or he struggled with sin. Listen, you know what he had to have grace for? Wasn't that he was struggling with sin. He had to have grace because in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27, he was jailed. He was beaten. He couldn't even number the times. He was beaten 5 times with 39 lashes. He was beaten with rods 3 different times. He was stoned once. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He spent the night floating in the sea 1 night. Now, listen now. I don't like to water ski in Seneca Lake because there are sharks. My wife keeps saying there are no sharks in Seneca. But I think there are. So you can imagine. Here's Paul floating. You want to talk about needing grace. You want to talk about needing supernatural power. You want to talk about needing supernatural protection. This is where God had him, right in that sea. And God protected him so much that when he landed, that entire city got born again. Why? Because God worked a miracle when a viper came out and he did not die. He was able to preach the gospel, and even the headship got born again. I'm here to tell you today that God's grace is available in every situation, every temptation, every trial that comes in your life. You don't have to fail. You don't have to struggle. But in the name of Christ, you can stand there in the grace, the power, the authority in Jesus' name and live in victory. My grace is sufficient. Sufficient simply means all you need. You need nothing more. You need nothing more than the grace of Christ. And it's not something you have to ask for. Grace. 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 Grace, come here. Come here, Grace. I'm sure her mama was out there. Grace! Grace! Hi, Grace.
Hello.
You don't have to call Grace in. Grace lives within. See, watch. She is grace. When I called Grace, Jody didn't stand up. Why? Because she is grace. She entombs grace. It is everything who she is. It encompasses her. It enthralls her. It is her very blood. That is who you are. You are
grace.
Thank you. You don't need to call on grace. Grace lives in you by the Spirit of the living God. You don't have to beg for help. He's saying, here's the grace. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. You see, you activate grace. You activate the supernatural. You activate the power of God. You activate victory in your life when you start calling upon God. I thank you for the grace. God, I thank you for moving in my life. I thank you for the victory over this sin. I thank you that I am not and no longer an addict. I thank you that, God, there is not one sin that trips me up. I thank you, God, that I have authority in my life because you have given me the grace, the grace, the grace. No matter what trial, no matter if people reject me, no matter if I'm having trouble forgiving, I have the grace to forgive. I have the grace to be healed. I have the grace to think right. I have the grace because grace lives in me. When you understand that, you don't have to keep drinking the goblet of mercy and getting drunk in mercy, thinking that justice is never coming. That's a lie. And the price is, at the end, he's going to say to some, well done, and others, I don't even know you. But Jesus, I prophesied in your name. But Jesus, I did miracles in your name. And he'll say, I don't know you. You're not in relationship with me. You thought that goblet of grace, all you needed. But you don't need, excuse me, the goblet of mercy is all you need. But you don't need mercy only. Mercy always brings you back to grace. So if mercy is not bringing you back to grace, then you're living a lie. You're deceiving yourself. So we've got to get back to knowing who we are in Christ. His grace is generous. No matter what you need, no matter what your problem. I have the grace and the power to forgive somebody I'm bitter to. I have the grace and the power to be free from addictions. I have the grace and the power to reject sexual sins. I have the grace and the power to live in blessing. I have the grace and the power to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. The generous grace of God, the generous grace of God empowers us to live a lifestyle that is peculiar in a world that they will see Christians are not the same as them. We need mercy, but we should never live in mercy. We live in grace. Amen. Woo. You devour that one this morning. You need to listen to this one at least more than once. Because many of us are drunk and have lied to ourselves for so long. And we think that we can live any way we want, and God has to forgive us. I want you to realize this, that even the forgiveness of God is straight mercy. But God will not always strive with man. And at some point in time, you can't even repent unless you're drawn. It's godly repentance, godly sorrow that leads to repentance, not your own sorrow. So when we rely simply on mercy and never live in grace, we might not end up where we're thinking we're going to, even with his generosity. So today the question to you is, are you drunken in the goblet of mercy, thinking there will be never justice appearing in your life? Or maybe you're a person that is believing God for more grace so that you can live stronger. And you're struggling, but I want you to know that you don't have to struggle alone, because, man, the power of prayer will break the back of the devil. The blood will break the back of the devil. The word will build your faith, and you'll be able to say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, and you shall have whatever you ask, that God by his power will give you the anointing that will destroy every yoke of bondage. You don't have to be defeated, for he's called you to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. The grace of God gives you the authority on this earth. We are not weak, but we are strong. Shout, that's who I am. And that is exactly who you are, unless you're drunk on the goblet of mercy. I'd like you to bow your head with me this morning. We all need mercy. I need mercy. My wife gives me mercy all the time. She's nice to me. She's kind to me. She makes me great breakfasts. If you watch Facebook at all, makes great breakfasts. Today, if you don't know Christ, you're living in mercy. You see, if you're here today, God sets you up, so that his mercy will draw you to the grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace will give you the power to apply the blood of Christ that will wash away every stain. You'll be a brand new man, a brand new woman. No, I'm not talking about joining a church or joining a religion. I'm talking relationship with the God who calls himself the I am that I am, the one and only. Today, if you're not born again today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, even if you're watching by live stream, this is your moment. You've been enjoying the mercy. Now it's time to apply the grace. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to receive him in your life. How do I do that, Pastor? Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. If you'd like to give your heart to the Lord Jesus, thank you, young lady. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you, young lady, young man. I appreciate it. Put your hand right back down. Anybody else this morning want to receive Jesus as their Savior? Thank you, young lady. I see your hand as well. Is there anyone else this morning you need Jesus as your personal Savior? You need the grace. You need the blood to wash your sins away. Thank you. Going to come up with mama? Amen. I'm not going to wait longer. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, 2. Last call and 1. Why do I do that? People ask me, why do you always do the countdown? You know, you do that in every single salvation call. You don't want to know why? Because that might have been the end of your mercy. And I don't want you to walk out of here deceived. Well, you're trying to scare us. You bet I'm trying to scare you. That should scare the hell out of you. Because if you don't know you're born again, you're not sure you're going to make it down the road a mile. You assume you are. You're relying on the goblin of mercy. But we all need the grace that washes our sins away. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Could I have the prayer team come to the front of the altar this morning? You see, today, if you're struggling with a sin, you're struggling in your life, man, you're believing God to be free. Maybe it's a sin that nobody knows about. Listen, you don't need to come up here and confess your sin to them. You confess your sin to Jesus. But they'll pray with you for the power, the grace to be released so you don't have to live in that sin. Can I hear an amen? So today, if you're struggling with sin, when we pray, when we get ready to pray, you just come right out of your chair, come right up the front. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Grab the person next to you. Meet me right here, right now. Come right out of your chair. Come on, everybody, give them a hand clap as they're coming this morning. If you raise your hand for salvation, come right out of your chair. Meet me right up here, right now. We're so proud of you. We're so proud of you, young lady. Oh, come right on over here. Meet me right over here. Meet me right over here. I'm so proud of y'all. You know, 4 people gave their hearts to Jesus in first service. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you all. Thank you so much. You raise your hand. You raise your hand. Oh, amen. Praise. I'm so proud of you. Couple, I'm so proud of you. I love you, baby girl. I've known you for so long. Really? Come on now. You're part of a good family. Amen. You see this young lady right over there? She's going to pray with you. We're going to get you a Bible. We're going to make sure you know what you're doing. Because it's not just starting. We want you to finish. Amen. We don't want you just to start the race. We want you to finish the race. And that means whatever Sister Joyce says, you follow her. Because she's going to get you a Bible. She's going to make sure you know what you're doing. And we're going to get you in rock solid faith. And you're going to grow up in Christ. Amen. Can you give him another hand clap? Come on, don't let heaven outshout you. Don't let heaven outshout you this morning. Follow right over to Sister Joyce. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, I release a blessing on this house. God, you've called me to be the pastor of this house. You've called me, God, in Jesus' name, to be the spiritual father of this house. And God, I declare blessing in everything these people touch. Lord, as they're walking in your grace, I thank you that new jobs are coming. I thank you that entrepreneurs are being raised. I thank you, God, that increase is coming. That, God, families will be restored. That lives will be blessed. That God will walk around, Lord, with a holiness in our heart. And people will say, I want the God that you serve. Father, we just speak blessing over this house in the name of Jesus, by the grace of God. And everybody receiving it shouted. I said you shouted. I love you. Have an awesome day. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to see you in the guest reception room.
It's amazing grace, how sweet.